Our scripture lesson this morning is going to come from the Old and the New Testament. From the Old Testament, reading 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, and from the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 through 19. I invite you to read with me as we read together this morning. 1 Kings chapter 9. Let's pray before we read. Heavenly Father, we come together to search your word. We pray that our minds may be open and our hearts are open to your leading. We seek your truth. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that every word that I speak this morning would be filled with your truth, that we may understand what faithfulness is all about. Bless us in our study, we pray. Amen. Our scripture is from 1 Kings, the 9th chapter, verse 1. When Solomon had finished building the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had achieved all that he desired to do, the Lord appeared to him a second time, and he appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord said to him, "I have heard the prayer and plea you have made before. I have consecrated this temple, which you have built, by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me in integrity of heart and uprightness, as David your father did, and do all that I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever. As I promised David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel." Then let's turn to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Verse 15. "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of my lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with your sacrifices, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for which they such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work would be joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. May God add his richest blessings to these his most holy words as we read them together this morning." Our main focus this morning is going to be upon understanding faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is, to me, something so very special that it is something that we would want to have as a part of our life. And every day we would have people say, "Now there's a faithful person." Or we ourselves as Christians would say, we really appreciate and are thankful for God's faithfulness in our lives. But what is it? Faithfulness is so simple, I believe, that children understand it. But it's so complex that it's hard to put in writing what faithfulness is. We have an idea, we know what it is, we know what it looks like, but it's hard to define it as to what it is. The dictionary would say to us, there's words like you're steadfast, you're loyal, you stick to your promise. Those are the words that would describe faithfulness. But to live it, that's another thing. How do we go about being God's faithful people? I believe that it would be a great celebration if we would just take time this morning and go pew after pew after pew and just have somebody share a short story of what faithfulness means to them, how they have experienced faithfulness. It'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? Should we try it? Now you're having some second thoughts. It would take much too long, but every one of you, I'm sure, would have something to say. You would have a story to share with us about how God is faithful, or how you have been so faithful in your marriage or in your living. I can just share with you, I've been doing ministry now for 46 years. And I would tell you that I have been so blessed by faithfulness of God. God is so faithful to me in all of my ministry. It didn't start out very well. I felt as a sophomore in high school called to be a minister. I really wanted to be a minister when I was in high school. And so it was kind of good for me. I had a clear-cut path of where I was going to go. And yet when I got into college, after my junior year of college, I needed to have a back surgery. I was laying in traction for 2-3 weeks. They thought at that time that's kind of how you fixed discs that blew out and so on. It just wasn't working. And finally, I would have to have a surgery. And I was filled with despair at that time, thinking, God, how are you going to direct me through ministry? And here I've got pretty weak back. What's going to happen? And yet, as God heard my prayer, and I understand how God uses us in who we are, God was so very faithful throughout all of my ministry. That meant through these 46 years, there was 3 back surgeries. I had a total of 7 surgeries altogether, even dealing with some cancer. Yet God is so faithful. I would proclaim his faithfulness every day because God is faithful in every part of our life, even our ups and our downs. When things don't look so good, we still know that God is so very faithful. As I was finishing up this message yesterday, I was kind of procrastinating a little bit. But I was finishing up yesterday, as I was typing, I was thinking, I wonder what it would be like if we would have opportunity to sit down and have these biblical people stand before us and tell us about faithfulness. And I thought of Jonah. I wonder what God, what Jonah would say about faithfulness when he really wasn't faithful. But God continued to be faithful to him as he sat in the middle of that belly of that whale, and he was hearing all of the regurgitation going on in the belly of the whale, thinking about God's presence. What would he say to us about faithfulness? What would Daniel say to us if he would have the pulpit this morning and say, I want to tell you about faithfulness when a group of guys threw me into a lion's den, and they were hungry. But God was so faithful to me by keeping their mouths shut. I'm sure that some of these stories would probably bring us to tears. I was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I always liked that story. Here these guys are thrown into a fiery furnace, and it was turned up 10 times hotter than what it's ever been. They're thrown into the furnace, and they're not burnt. Their clothes don't even smell like ash. Wonder what they would say to us about faithfulness. It'd be very moving. God desires of us to be those faithful people carrying on his faithfulness in all of our lives. But here's the clincher. We don't just live to be faithful for ourselves, but we're faithful to tell somebody else and to encourage somebody else about God's faithfulness. We live so that others may see how we live, so that they may know more about God. We live so that our children would understand what faithfulness is all about. I am touched by a song that Steve Green wrote. He released it in 2009, I believe, 2007 or 2009. He released the song, and it's called Find Us Faithful. And I was thinking about that song, and I just want to share with you the first 2 verses. here's why we're faithful. When pilgrims on the journey, would you rather have me sing it? No, you wouldn't. We're pilgrims on the journey, on the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. He goes on to say, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race, not only for the prize, but as those who have gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. We're not just faithful so that we may be pleasing to God. We are faithful so that those coming behind us understand what faithfulness is all about, and that they will have this desire to follow in our footsteps of where we go. And children will say, you know, I understand now why we go to church. I understand now why we read the Bible. I see in mom and dad, I see in grandpa and grandma how faithful they are. And that's the heritage that we would want to pass on to these dear children. So this morning I want to take a look with you at a couple passages. The first passage that really kind of explains to us what faithfulness is all about and where God wants our attention when we are faithful people. And the second passage in Hebrews that kind of shares with us the outcome of faithfulness. Again, each of those are challenges to us, how we're going to put that into practice. So this first passage from 1 Kings is a time in which Solomon is finished building the temple. And the temple is beautiful. It has a lot of glitz and glitter, if we could say it in that way. But it is a beautiful place. And as Solomon is finished with this, God appears to him again and shares with Solomon how he has this desire that Solomon would be faithful, that he would come to this place to worship. God says in the passage that we read from 1 Kings, I have heard the prayer and the plea that you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name on it forever. I will always be present in that place. My eyes and my heart will always be there. So when we think about that, we think about how God is saying to Solomon, now you have built a beautiful place, but when you come to this place not to admire the beauty, but you come to this place to worship your God and to know that God's presence is there. His name is placed on this place. And we come into this place to worship. Solomon, if you are faithful by following all the decrees and all the laws, then God says, you will be blessed. A promise of God's faithfulness to Solomon. But it's not just to Solomon. Friends, here at Inwood First, this passage is for you as well. God is saying, when you come together in a place of worship, when you come to this place, are you coming here to admire the beauty of this place? You say, what a wonderful church we have, and you have a wonderful church. But when you come through these doors, do you come to admire the beauty that's around you? Or do you come because God has placed his name on this place? God's presence is here. And every time that we come together in this place of worship, we are coming to worship the triune God. It doesn't make any difference who's the pastor, and you have a good pastor, but whoever preaches the word of God, you're not worshiping that person. You are coming to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Why do you do that? Because there's kids here. The children are present, and they would see by us that we come to celebrate the presence of God. We want to be faithful in our time of worship. We want to come because God's name is written on this place. And those who would come here with us would come to see our faithfulness. And they would say, you know, that's why we go to church. We go to church to see God. We go to church to worship God. And so if you would come to this place today and you don't see Jesus, our walk is empty. There's something missing. Whether it's a hymn that we sing, a praise song that we sing, a prayer that is offered, a message that is proclaimed, or a word of encouragement from somebody in this congregation, whatever it is, there's something that needs to go on in our time of worship that helps us see Jesus, that helps us to understand who it is that we're worshiping. And so I would just invite you, every Sunday you come here, every time you come together to worship, you come to see Jesus. Because Jesus has promised he's in this place. You don't have to invite him here. He's here. He's with you as you worship. Wherever you go with Jesus. And I would invite you to just come and have that desire to come and see Jesus. Now, the outcome of our faithfulness, the outcome of being faithful people before God, is found for us in this Hebrews passage. Hebrews 13, I'll tell you what, is a loaded passage. There is sermon upon sermon upon sermon in this chapter alone. And in these few verses, I'm only able to get to a few main points. Otherwise, we'd be here a long time. But each one of these verses is almost a sermon in itself. But I want to share with you a couple of things that really would encourage us to say, this is the outcome of our faithfulness. What are we doing as we are faithful before God? The first thing is, in Hebrews, is that it refers to a time in which we are praising God. We really want to praise the name of Jesus Christ. This is kind of this passage that I read, beginning in verse 15, is kind of like what I refer to as the hallmark picture of what our lives should look like. When you think about how we are as God's people striving to be faithful to him, this is the picture that should be face painted on each of us. Say, this is what it is to be faithful. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God our sacrifice of praise. We, as faithful people, have a desire that we would praise God every day in all that we're doing. What it means is that we're not some grumpy people that are walking around claiming that we're Christians, but we really are irritated and we're agitated. No, that's not what it means. It means that wherever we are, whether we're in this place of worship or whether outside these doors in our daily endeavors, we are praising God. People would see us and say, I see Jesus in them. I see trust. I see hope. I see a life that I would like to live by seeing their praise and worship. Does that mean that we never have a tough time in life? We have tough times in life. We have burdens to bear. We have sorrow. We have sadness. But even in the midst of those, as you walk through those dark valleys, you come to a point and say, I want to praise the name of Jesus. I want to praise God's name for what he has done for me and how he has brought me through these difficult times. So as faithful people, we praise the name of Jesus. Secondly, we confess the name of Jesus. The fruit of the lips that confess his name. We are people that desire to confess the name of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, this is another emphasis on our need to come together to worship. We need to come and proclaim and confess the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Pastor, does that mean that we never get to go on vacation? We never get to go camping because it's over Sunday? No, that's not what it means. It means that we have a desire to come and confess the name of Jesus Christ in a place of worship, wherever we are. And even when we're on vacation, there's opportunities for us to worship. I have to tell you, in all my vacations, I didn't make it to church all the time on vacations, but you're in a spirit of worship. I have to tell you, a delightful illustration of this happened many, many years ago. We were on vacation, and it was on a Sunday. We were driving down the road. It was on a Sunday morning, and our children were fairly young. I remember them being quite young, and they kind of all of a sudden said, "Dad, you should be preaching by now, but we don't, you know, you're not in church this morning, but we need to do church." So we're riding down the road, and the kids in the back seat say, "We need to do church." And so they start singing some of their Bible school songs, the B-I-B-L-E, and all those songs that they would know from memory. And so they were singing, and then they said, "Well, for the sermon part, we're going to," here's where Dad helped them along a bit. "So maybe you guys just want to share something that you're thankful for." And so they each took a turn, and they shared something that they were thankful for. As we're driving down the road, remember, and they shared from the back seat what they were thankful for. It wasn't a very long sermon, not like this morning, but they were sharing. And then my son says, "We have to pray. I'll pray. Dad, you keep your eyes open. I'm going to pray." So our son prayed in the back seat. And you know what? That probably was just as good a worship service as this was today. Because they had that desire to worship, to confess the name of Jesus. We weren't in any kind of church building, but that building in that car was our church. We have that desire to come and worship. And that's what I want to encourage you to just keep coming to worship. You want to keep sharing in that time of fellowship with one another, being faithful to God in your time of worship. I have that deep concern for those marginal people that really don't care to be in church. They may have a name on a church roll. I know you have some of them too. We all have had them on our church rolls. But those people that are marginal and just say, "Well, if we have no other place to go, let's go to church." I want to encourage those people to see the faithfulness of God. I want them to know what it means to come daily into the presence of God. I want them to know that when they come to a place of fellowship and worship, that they meet Jesus there. That it's their desire to come to church, not that they have to. I don't want any of you to come because you have to. I want you to come because God is faithful, and you want to be faithful to Him, and you want to proclaim His name. Third one, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. With such sacrifices, God is pleased. We are called. We are called by God to share Jesus Christ with others. That's God's desire. He wants us to be evangelists. He wants us to tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ. Share the good news. With these kind of sacrifices, God is pleased. Don't just sit on the good news. Don't just say, "Well, we'll open up the Bible again next week when we get to church." This is the good news that needs to be shared, not kept to yourself. God wants you to share that good news. Beginning in your families, to share with your children and tell them about Jesus, what it means to follow a Savior who is willing to give His life so we may live freely and confess the name of Jesus Christ. He wants you to tell other people in your neighborhoods who work alongside you, who you have coffee with. He wants you to tell them about Jesus. He wants you to confess the name of Jesus Christ before all people. Because God wants you to be faithful. He wants to be able to count on you, that he has your word, that you're going to be faithful, that you're going to be steadfast, that you're going to be loyal, keeping the word of God. There's much more here we could talk about. Obeying your leaders, submitting to them. It's not a burden, but a joy. I don't have time this morning to go into all that, but God is calling us to even be faithful before our leaders, to encourage them and to pray for them. Sure, maybe sometimes they do things we don't agree with. Does that mean we stop praying for them? No, not at all. Pray for those around us. God's called you to be faithful. He wants you to share his good news. He wants you to come and worship his name, confess his name. He wants you to be faithful. As Steve Green says, oh, may all that come behind us find us faithful. That's our prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just give thanks to you for the opportunity that we have of being your servants, that we may be faithful to you in all that we do. Thank you for your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your word would penetrate into our hearts, that we will have a greater desire to be faithful to you each and every day, whether it's in a place of worship or whether it's in our homes or at our work, that we may be faithful people. Bless us, we pray. Amen.